And that's Acts 8. On that day, a great persecution broke out against the church at Jerusalem, and all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. Godly men buried Stephen and mourned deeply for him. But Saul began to destroy the church. Going from house to house, he dragged off men and women and put them in prison. Those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. Philip went down to a city in Samaria and proclaimed the Christ there. When the crowds heard Philip and saw the miraculous signs he did, they all paid close attention to what he said. With shrieks, evil spirits came out of many, and many paralytics and cripples were healed. So there was great joy in that city.
Now for some time, a man named Simon had practiced sorcery in the city and amazed all the people of Samaria. He boasted that he was someone great, and all the people, both high and low, gave him their attention and exclaimed, "This man is the divine power known as the Great Power." They followed him because he had amazed them for a long time with his magic. But when they believed Philip as he preached the good news of the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Simon himself believed and was baptized, and he followed Philip everywhere, astonished by the great signs and miracles he saw. When the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them. When they arrived, they prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit had not yet come upon any of them. They had simply been baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John placed their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. When Simon saw that the Spirit was given at the laying on of the apostles' hands, he offered them money and said, "Give me also this ability, so that everyone on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit." Peter answered, "May your money perish with you, because you thought you could buy the gift of God with money. You have no part or share in this ministry, because your heart is not right before God. Repent of this wickedness and pray to the Lord. Perhaps he will forgive you for having such a thought in your heart. For I see that you are full of bitterness and captive to sin." Then Simon answered, "Pray to the Lord for me so that nothing you have said may happen to me." When they had testified and proclaimed the word of the Lord, Peter and John returned to Jerusalem, preaching the gospel in many Samaritan villages. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Well, as we come to hear God speak to us, let's pray. Father God, thank you that as we hear the Bible read and preached, we are hearing your voice. I thank you that as we hear your voice, we are hearing the voice of our Father who made us and our Father who loves us. So please, Father, speak to us, help us to hear your voice, to grow in our love for you, love for your Son in the power of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now I wonder when you think about moving forward in ministry or mission, that whole idea, when you hear us or others talk about that, what it is for you as you think about moving forward in mission and ministry, what are those barriers that may seem to block you in, that seem to hold you back? Maybe barriers that mark off your comfort zone. Those barriers that seem to mark off your no-go zones. When you think about speaking about the Lord Jesus, or even before you think about thinking about, what are those things that hem you in? Perhaps it's the idea of, I don't know, people not like you. Maybe you sort of, I don't know, see it on the news or it's somewhere you drive past in the car. You see that community over there and you think, yikes. I mean, I wouldn't even know how to talk to people there, let alone know how to talk to people there about Jesus. Maybe it's just people totally unlike you. On the flip side, it could be, and often is, more likely to be the people closest to you. Yeah, so it's sort of like, Lord, send me to China. Whatever you do, don't ask me to talk to my best friend or my mother-in-law or my wife or child or whatever it might be. Sometimes the people closest to you are where we see the barriers go up most firmly and most strongly. So the question is, if we want to move forward with mission, if we want to be involved in that, how can we break through? What will it take as individuals and as a church family to break through those barriers? And it's just worth saying, it could be that there are some of us tonight who sort of place ourselves on the other side of that barrier. That you say, no, I am on the other side. What? I can hear you all talking about something. What would it take to break through to me? Well, we jump into the middle of the story of the early church here in Acts. And as we jump into the middle of these events, we find the truth for our time. We see what it takes to break through in our communities, perhaps even in our own lives. Now, I was thinking that there might be PowerPoint coming up here. It's like, there it is. Is it going to come up? Great. That's off. Let me try that. Sorry. There we go. What's great is the same thing, wherever you are in the world, there's always technology that the speaker always forgets to turn on something. So as we take a look at this, this passage about the church, the early church then, is to show us today how it is that the message about Jesus can break through. And as the story unfolds, the first thing we encounter is that to break through, what it takes, the power we need, is simply the same simple message about Jesus. It's the same gospel. The gospel that we have heard, the message about Jesus that we have heard, is the message for us to share. It's the message that others need. We see that as this sort of story, this history unfolds here in chapter 8. But if you've got your Bibles closed, please, page 1101, you can watch it there unfold. And we find ourselves in the middle of some brutal persecution. It sort of comes down on the people, verse 1. There's a persecution that erupts in Jerusalem, the sort of the cradle of the Christian church. And it erupts there, and people are scattered all around. But look at what these Christians do as they're persecuted and scattered and exiled. We see them wherever we go, they go, sharing and speaking the same message about the Lord Jesus. So look at what they do in verse 4. Those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. We zoom in, verse 5, we zoom into a guy called Philip. And it says, Philip went down to a city in Samaria. And what did he do? Proclaimed Christ there. Or again, we see him in verse 12. People believe because as he preached the good news of the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus. At the start of this story of this history of God's church in Acts chapter 1, Jesus promises his disciples. He says, "You will be my you will testify to me. You will preach about me here in Jerusalem, where we're at home, next door in Judea, on to Samaria, the region around, and to the ends of the earth." And the story of Acts, as we get to this point, has been barrier after barrier being broken down. And now we see God's people moving in these verses from Jerusalem home to Judea to Samaria. And it helps to understand something of the situation of these people. When you say Samaria to you and I, we think it might just be a name in the Bible. Perhaps there's a map at the back there. But you mention Samaria to these guys living in Jerusalem in verse 1, Samaria is the dodgy neighborhood next door. It's this grotty, horrible place that people in those days would avoid. They would take a massive detour to make sure they don't mix in. But God's people find themselves there, and even there, even to them, it's that same message about the Lord Jesus, wherever they are. And we could see, we can tell it's the same message about Jesus, because wherever it goes, you see the same effect. It's the same message having the same effect. We've already seen in Jerusalem a pattern of persecution. So verses 1 to 3, you just see the persecution in verse 1. The mourning as a Christian leader is buried in verse 2. The devastation of families and suffering in verse 3 as people are being put in prison. There's persecution and opposition. But just look at the way it all flips around. In Jerusalem, sort of filled with suffering and sadness and darkness. And then as they proclaim the gospel, that same gospel that provokes such persecution in verse 8, brings about the most glorious transformation from a city full of suffering to verse 8, a city full of joy in Samaria. Persecution and transformation. You see that as you zoom in Samaria. So we join verse 9, as soon as we enter Samaria with them, verse 9, we're confronted by this sort of dark and horrible occult power. This guy Simon, and you can imagine as they meet someone like Simon, those Christians from Judea would be saying, "This is exactly why we avoid Samaria. It's because of guy typical Samaritans." Verse 9. Just look at what he's like. There was a man named Simon had practiced sorcery in the city. He boasted that he was someone great. People high and low gave them their attention. Verse 11, they followed him. They were in the grip of his power. Well, imagine being a Christian stepping into that. And yet, that gospel that provokes opposition, that confronts such darkness, brings transformation. Just look at what happens. People stop following Simon. Verse 12, start following Philip as he preached the good news of the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus. They were baptized, both men and women. And verse 13, now Simon, who everybody followed, Simon himself now starts following Jesus. So to be encouraged, all you have to do is just look at Simon and think, this is even him the Lord can save. As that gospel reaches that place and those people, the gospel that brings, that provokes opposition, is the gospel that brings transformation. The gospel that they heard is the gospel that they shared. When we arrived in Chile, we lived on a street. It was like right by a T-junction. And we were confronted by this sign. I don't know if anybody's doing a driving test soon, but imagine what you do. You come to this sign, no left turn and no right turn, with an explanation in Spanish. So we sort of found ourselves there frozen with cars honking either side. And that sort of sense of disorientation really marked. For me, this sign sums up a little bit of what it's like, what it was like for those first few years living in Chile. That sense of do I go there? No, what do I do? But it was beautiful to be able to get to know this group of people, our church family, and to realize that this was a church family where, in a different language, in a different culture, they were sharing the same message about the Lord Jesus. And so we found that moment of disorientation, found ourselves anchored in that message. But it's interesting because now this crowd, this group of Christians, are now themselves finding themselves at this kind of crossroads of kind of what to do and where to go, that sort of disorientation, because our church is finding itself in the midst of kind of a political struggle and civil unrest, We've had outbreaks of violence all over the country, especially in the city. And some of that has had a focus, a sort of really anti-Christian feeling to it. People on the one hand, angry at the Roman Catholic Church because of the scandals of abuse that have devastated so many. But also on the other hand, cynical about the Protestant Church because they think the Protestants are just there to exploit the poor. And so as a Christian, it's like you're there with this no left, well, I don't want to say, oh, no, but I don't want to. That sense of disorientation, even in their own home, even in their own place. Where do we turn? What do we do? What can I say? Well, what's true in Samaria, in Judea, Jerusalem, Samaria, what's true here in Acts 8, it's true in Chile. And it's true in Maidenhead as well, that it's the simple message of the Lord Jesus that provokes opposition, but that brings glorious transformation. And so the question isn't, you know, what's the secret to breaking through? What is it that will do it? Well, we know. It's the message about the Lord Jesus. The question instead is, am I willing to pass that message on? Am I willing to place myself in the line of fire that that message of Jesus will bring? But am I expectant about the glorious transformation that that same message of Lord Jesus can work in people's lives? It's the same message of the Lord Jesus. But then we might have another question. All right, okay, so we break through, but then what do we find on the other side? As I share the message of the Lord Jesus, as people believe and understand, what do we find on the other side? And as we look to Samaria, we see it's the gospel that breaks through. It's the same gospel. But as that same gospel breaks through, what we find is the same church. The one, the same church. Just look at what we see there in verse 14. Now, kind of following as the story unfolds, Jerusalem has started to hear rumors that these guys in Samaria, even in Samaria, people are starting to believe about Jesus. They say, "Are you serious, Samaria? Do you know what they're like? That sorcerer guy is there." They know Samaria. People are Christians there. And so they go, okay, well, let's send our best men. So they send Peter and John. And as Peter and John go, what they find is the same church. A church formed by the gospel. A church formed as people have heard. Look at what they've heard, verse 14. The people in the Samaria had accepted the word of God. It's a church formed by the gospel. Or like we've already seen, that they believed the message that Philip proclaimed. And so they go and we see them receiving the word in verse 14. And so in verse 16 and 17, that church in Samaria receives the Holy Spirit. In Acts, well, in the Bible, God's Holy Spirit, God pours out his Holy Spirit to mark his one people who trust in his only Son, the Lord Jesus. As we give ourselves, trust that message of the Lord Jesus, God gives himself to us by his Holy Spirit. And what we see is that verse 16, the Holy Spirit hadn't come on there, that unusually God, as it were, holds back in this moment in history, in this situation, that giving of the Holy Spirit, just so that the guys from Jerusalem can come and mark out and express that, hey, we're all part of one church. And actually, you have this at moments in the book of Acts. We have at Acts 2, people believe in the message of the Lord Jesus, and the Holy Spirit comes down on them. And a bit like aftershocks of that one great earthquake, as the message of the Lord Jesus breaks out of Jerusalem into Samaria and gets to the ends of the earth, at those points, we have this particular expression that even here, this is my one people who have trusted this message about my son. It's one church forged by this message about the Lord Jesus. It's a church formed by the gospel. But it's also a church that needs the gospel. It formed by the gospel, but it also needs the gospel to keep going and to be strengthened. Let's pick up verse 18. We have Simon, and you could just imagine, let's imagine the situation. Philip has been there, struggling along. You can imagine what it was like in the early days. Everybody has been saying, who is this Jesus? Let me show you about this Simon. The Simon guy's crazy. He's great. He's got so much power. Philip's been going. Philip's been persevering. He's been sharing that simple message. And wonderfully, Simon the sorcerer becomes a Christian. I mean, you can imagine. Okay, so you have this little church, and Simon the sorcerer, he's got this amazing testimony. Peter and John come from Jerusalem. And you can imagine the first person that that Philip introduces them to. Well, guys, you ain't seen nothing there yet. Here's this guy, Simon. Let me tell you his story. He used to be, you can imagine how encouraging that was and how amazing that was and what a boost that was. Look at what Simon does in verse 18. Look at how crushing this must have been. Peter and John placed at the hand. People receive the Holy Spirit. Verse 18. Simon saw that the Spirit was given at the laying on of the apostles' hands. And so he offered them money and said, oh, give me also this ability so that anyone on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit. You can imagine Philip being, oh, no, just the discouragement. You know, instead of seeing the Holy Spirit as God himself, giving himself to those who trust in Jesus. Here is Simon thinking the Holy Spirit is some power I can manipulate for profit. Just imagine how deflating and crushing that might have been. He might have thought, typical Samaria. Typical to mess things up like that. And I imagine in this moment, Peter and John and Philip, they could have felt a couple of temptations. One is to give up on Samaria. Yeah, typical Samaria, just what I would have expected. Looks good for a bit, but really a total disaster. I knew we shouldn't have gone into this neighborhood. It never. So they could give up on Samaria, or they could find themselves giving up on the message about Jesus. Yeah? Like, who are we kidding? Really? The message of Jesus can break through the heart of the leader of an occult sect? But they don't do either of those things. They don't give up on Samaria. They don't give up on the gospel. They remember that the church formed by the gospel is a church sustained that needs the gospel. And that's what Peter does in verses 20 to 23. He speaks with a brutal honesty. He speaks maybe harshly, but what he speaks is the gospel. Look at verse 22. He says, repent of this wickedness and pray to the Lord. Perhaps he will forgive you for having such a thought in your hearts. What he's doing is nothing less, nothing more than calling him to repent, turn his back on his sin, and trust Jesus for forgiveness. He's simply preaching the gospel. It's what Peter does there, and it's what Peter continues and John do throughout. So look at how this section, this bit that we've heard read, ends. They testified and proclaimed the word of the Lord. Peter and John returned to Jerusalem, preaching the gospel in many Samaritan villages. The church forged by the gospel is the church sustained and that needs the gospel. Which is why we're so thankful that St. Mary's Maidenhead is part of our ministry in the Centro de Estudios Pastorales, CEP, Center for Pastoral Studies, where we teach. Because what we long for is that men and women who study there would themselves be gripped by the gospel, that they would entrust themselves wholeheartedly to the gospel so that they might lead others to know that message about Jesus. Because there will be situations where they will be tempted to give up on people or be tempted to give up on Jesus when what they need to do is stay faithful to the message about the Lord Jesus. That's why we take time studying. That's why we take time walking together, sharing together, praying together, so that we might stand firm in that same message of Jesus. And that's our prayer in Chile for the church family here. As real lives, as this opportunity comes at the end of the month to speak to people about Jesus. Maybe it's those people who are totally unlike you that you can't imagine talking to. Maybe it's the people who are dangerously close to you, you don't really dare to speak to. As we look at the church here in Samaria, we're encouraged, don't give up on the people. Don't give up on the gospel. Stay true to sharing that good news about the Lord Jesus. So when we look beyond the comfort zone and we think to ourselves, what would it take to break through? What would it take to break through these barriers? We can look at the church then to see the truth for us now, that it is the same message about Jesus that will form the same church of Jesus in Judea, in Samaria, in Chile, and to the ends of the earth, to Maidenhead and the neighborhoods around us. Let's pray that that would be so. Those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. Father God, thank you so much that the message about Jesus has reached these shores, has come to us, that we can sit here and hear about the Lord Jesus. We can be with other Christians. Father, as we go from here, as we are scattered from here, may we be those who preach that message wherever we go. Father God, show us what those barriers are that hem us in and hold us back. And help us to trust that your good news about your Son has the power to break through. In his name we pray. Amen.